Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, first this morning, the UN peacekeeping mission in Lebanon is set to be wound down by 2027, according to this draft French resolution, which will go before the UN Security Council in New York later on today. And it will bring to an end nearly 50 years of Irish Defence Force troops serving overseas in Lebanon, a key long-standing operation. So what will this mean when it comes to stability in the region? And what are the implications for Irish troops? Well, for more, I'm joined by Thomas Byrne, Fianna Fáil TD for Meath East and Minister of State for European Affairs, Trade and Defence, and also Professor Ray Murphy from the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway, who has served in the past in Lebanon. Good morning firstly to you, Minister.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Now, the Taoiseach Simon Harris says that Ireland worked intensively with colleagues to develop a proposal that avoids a sudden, abrupt cliff edge to the mission. And we know that over 300 Irish troops have a presence there. Did you see this coming? What brought us to this point today?
Well, I suppose there was a lot of speculation over the summer. Like, we've been obviously concerned about this for quite some time, and I think we may have mentioned it or certainly hinted at it in the Dáil over months, and certainly there's a lot of media speculation about this, and there are other UN mandates as well in similar situations, not totally the same. So to be fair, the French, as permanent members of the Security Council, had the pen on this file. They were in charge of the negotiations, and the Taoiseach was in a lot of discussions with his French counterpart and other ministers as well. Basically, everybody on the UN Security Council except the United States was very happy for this to continue. The government of Lebanon requested that it continue, and we certainly believed at all times that it was necessary that it would continue. But of course, without all five, if any one of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council vetoes this, then it can't go ahead. So we do expect that this particular resolution will pass today at the Security Council, but we'll have to wait and see, of course, because the vote hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. But it does seem that will happen. The United States will not veto this particular proposal, and UNIFIL will continue until the end of next year. So the troop rotations that happen every 6 months will continue, and then there will be a wind down phase. Now, this does give time for further discussions, but to be clear, the position is what it is today after this vote, that this is likely to end at the end of 2027.
This is huge, isn't it, for the Irish Defence Forces after 50 years there?
It is, because we have over 300 people there at the moment, and there's a huge number of people, many thousands have served in the Lebanon over the years, and of course 48 people have died from Ireland and the Lebanon as well. So there's been a huge sacrifice made. There's a lot of people have done incredible work there and really, really helped the people of Lebanon and the state of Lebanon in terms of its stability, doing their best there. And this is a big change, not just for Lebanon, but for the Irish Defence Forces as well.
So is this all down to Donald Trump's White House, you know, this stance that has led us to this point? Because we have been close to it in past years, but to get it to this stage, is that the change? That's the difference?
Well, clearly, I mean, the main discussions were between France, really, on behalf of all the other members of the Security Council and the United States, but the Big Five have a veto there, so they can decide yes or no on any proposal at the Security Council. That's the situation. So the United States have that power. Mm-hmm. They've exercised it. And I suppose, to be fair to the French government and those of us who work with them, we've tried to make the situation as good as it possibly can be with this particular resolution in light of that.
Duncan Smith from the Labour Party says in the last little while on social media, pressure from Israel and the United States will lead to the ending of the largest peacekeeping force in the Middle East. He says it will only serve to further destabilise the region and likely lead to further conflict. Is he right?
Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, that's why we wanted the mission to continue, and that's why every country on the Security Council, other than the United States, as I understand it, wanted this to continue, why the government of Lebanon wanted this to continue. So I think everybody's got to work really, really hard in the next year and a half, and then after that, to make sure that we can give as much support to the people of Lebanon and for peace and security in the region. And this is totally hypothetical, but it is possible that there could be some international force invited in by the Lebanese government. That's, as I say, totally speculative. Ireland wouldn't be part of that because of the triple lock if there were such discussions, but that's certainly possible. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there have been any discussions about that at any level.
Where does that lead us to?
Well, it wouldn't involve Ireland because of the triple lock.
Mm-hmm.
because it wouldn't have, presumably it wouldn't have a UN Security Council mandate. But that's entirely speculative. Is that
an argument then for examining the triple lock again?
Well, I don't want to use this particular case. This particular case is different because the mission there is so big. And there's a huge cost involved in that mission as well, which the UN bears, and it is just out on its own in terms of the size of it. But certainly this does illustrate the point that we've been making, that any one of the five permanent members of the Security Council can make these decisions. If we want to send a handful of people to a mission abroad, which is peacekeeping, Operation Irini, for example, on the Mediterranean, preventing weapons and helping to resolve the issues coming from human trafficking, we have to have a UN Security Council mandate. And if the UN, if any one of the big five decides not to renew that or not to support that, then we have to abide by that decision, even if others continue, and that can sometimes happen.
Right, well, we might come back to that in a minute, but there is a more local problem here, and it's a really big one, because there's two rotations a year going out here, 300 troops, as we have mentioned. So the implications for the Irish Defence Forces are really big. I mean, what will they do come 2027?
Well, look, our defence forces do fantastic work, and their first duty, of course, is to protect the state. So that's their first duty. But obviously, people join the defence forces because they want to engage in what the Irish Defence Forces have historically done over the years, which is peacekeeping. So yes, this is a big, big part of why people join the Irish Defence Forces. And the implications of this particular decision have not been worked out, because, I mean, clearly the government will have to consider this and to consider what other opportunities might be there.
Well, you say they joined to do this job, you know, well, to go to Lebanon.
It's certainly part of why they join.
But I suppose what you're foreseeing there is a real problem now with recruitment and retention.
This is something that's been thrown at us over in recent months, and certainly this is a difficulty for the people of Lebanon primarily. But certainly there are implications, and significant implications, for the Irish Defence Forces. I think the government and the Defence Forces will have to work through them in the short period. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not going to give an immediate reaction on that point, but yeah, I do accept that it is a factor.
You do accept it's a factor, and it will be a problem when it comes to attracting people to our Defence Forces, because you can't tell them what they're going to be doing.
There are lots of other things for people in the Defence Forces to do. There's a lot more at home than there are in Lebanon at the moment. But obviously, over time, there's huge numbers go to Lebanon and do fantastic work there. We're very proud of them. And again, reiterating as well the sacrifices that many Irish people have made there, including with their lives. So this is something the government will have to work through in the period ahead.
There is no real plan where you can demonstrate to people who are in the army now or who might be attracted to a career in the Defence Forces.
Well,
you can't tell them what they're going to be doing.
This is why, I mean, you see, we are, because of the triple lock, we really are working on the decisions of other countries in terms of where we go abroad. And that's the argument that we've been making. I mean, there's public meetings all over the country about neutralities and danger, but this is actually the triple lock in action. This is actually the Security Council in action. And people have commented on why the United States has taken this particular position. And some of those same people who'd be critical of that would also be saying we have to keep the triple lock. So I think this is essential now that we have a really good discussion in the Dáil, a really serious discussion, and throw out all of the exaggeration. And we had, you know, Sinn Féin talking about sending our young people to war and all this. Throw all of that out. And let's look clearly at the political situation, whether it's here, whether it's in maybe Ukraine, or whether it's, you know, the situation in Bosnia, where that mission is not always, you know, but definitely going to be renewed. Irini, for example, in the Mediterranean, where there's some Irish people doing fantastic work. That got a 6-month renewal there in June. So the UN Security Council is operating in a different way than it used to.
Okay.
Well, I think that we have to accept the realities of that.
Let's bring in Professor Ray Murphy. How significant is this news today, Ray, in your view?
This is very significant, especially for the people of South Lebanon, but especially the Lebanese government. It comes at possibly the worst time for the Lebanese government, because at present they are making real efforts to disarm Hezbollah in South Lebanon, and they're trying to restore their authority in the region. And UNIFIL was critical to supporting the Lebanese armed forces in South Lebanon. And the two major factors impeding them were the Israeli presence, because Israel was supposed to, under an agreement made some months ago. Israel was supposed to withdraw entirely from South Lebanon, but it has maintained 5 military posts and 2 buffer zones, and it is continuing to conduct hostile military operations throughout Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And Hezbollah likewise are threatening the Lebanese government.
A criticism of the UNIFIL exercise is that, you know, that is allowed to happen.
Yeah, that's not a fair criticism. I mean, essentially, UNIFIL is a peacekeeping force. The parties to the conflict are supposed to cooperate with UNIFIL and abide by the UN Security Council resolution. Neither major party, that being Hezbollah and the Israeli Defense Forces, have cooperated. And in fact, both have been quite hostile towards UNIFIL over the last number of months. So UNIFIL can only do what it is allowed to do in very difficult circumstances. And I just give the listeners one, you know, there was a lot of criticism of Hezbollah having military posts near to UN positions. And I recall reading in an Israeli newspaper there about 12 months ago where, yes, there was a Hezbollah position very close to a UN post, but the same position was very close to an Israeli Defense Force post. Mm-hmm. And neither the Israeli Defense Forces nor UN saw that position.
Okay. Ray, can I ask you, though, on that question that I was just discussing with Thomas Byrne, what will our defence forces do now, or what will attract new people to join the defence forces if this is gone?
Yeah, I mean, this is our major international operational involvement. And so losing this is a major blow to the defence forces. It's not in any way the responsibility of the Irish government or the defence forces. But we must now look to find another mission to replace it. Unfortunately, we withdrew from the UNDOF mission on the Syrian Golan Heights relatively recently. Now, that was a much smaller mission with much less engagement, but it, I thought, was a mistake at the time. And so, the minister has mentioned there may be an international force established, and he's spoken about the triple lock.
Yes.
But yeah, in the 1980s, there were a number of non-UN approved missions, multinational forces established in Lebanon. The track record of those forces was abysmal, and they suffered horrendous losses at the hands of the various parties to the conflict. The idea of sending in forces without a UN mandate, I think, is extremely dangerous. It's a very volatile region. You don't have the legitimacy and you don't have the protection of the UN. Now, I know that's a very limited protection, but it does at least have some international standing. So, yes, the minister has mentioned the triple lock, but the alternative to deploying in an area where you may be perceived as a hostile force is not something that I personally would like to see the defence forces do in the future.
Do you see the danger, Thomas Byrne, in doing that, you know, in aligning to another force that doesn't have the protection of the UN?
Well, absolutely. And I said it was highly speculative, and I said that UNIFIL was a particular case that it was just so big and the financial implications and all of that. Absolutely accept that. And it is highly speculative, but there may well be plans to seek to do that from other countries. As I said, it would not involve Ireland. Because of the triple lock. But I think the point is more relevant in other missions where we have to seek out the UN Security Council approval to deploy our troops abroad in terms of the democratic decisions made here. But absolutely, the Lebanese situation is sui generis. It's extremely unique in terms of what the UN does and what the Irish Defence Forces do.
So, Ray, in the context of this decision now, do you think that the triple lock should be examined?
Well, I personally have, I do not favour the removal of the triple lock because I feel that it undermines the UN. And while I understand the practicalities and the implications, this is a good example of the implications, but the alternative is becoming part of an international force that may not have the legitimacy that is needed to be seen as impartial and to be able to perform a constructive international role in maintaining international peace and security. So I agree with the minister. This is a unique case, but every case is unique. But this is a real case before us. So here is an example of where, yes, the veto of the United States is going to prevent the UNIFIL mission from continuing. So do we continue in a non-UN capacity? And the answer to that, to me, would be no, we should not.
Right. No, we should not. And in terms of morale in the Irish Defence Forces, Ray, we know it hasn't been in a great place in recent times. This is certainly not going to help, I would imagine.
No, overseas service, as it's traditionally called in the Defence Forces, is a major part of military life. And it is a large, you know, it is one of the reasons that it attracts people to join the Defence Forces. And it's important in career progression and experience in training. I couldn't overestimate the positive impact of international engagement by the Defence Forces in a range of activities. So, yes, it is, unfortunately, it comes at a bad time for the Defence Forces as well.
What should they do?
The government should actively engage with the UN to see, are there alternative missions that we could participate in? And hopefully there may be. And then there are places in the world where you wouldn't wish to send Irish forces, and it might not be part of broader government policy or foreign policy. So we're in something of a bind. Now, you know, there is a possibility, I suppose, in a year's time that things can change. You know, it does give us a prospect of change. But unfortunately, the destructive and negative impact of the Trump administration on international institutions, especially the UN, cannot be underestimated. And from the start, I mean, from the very beginning, there were members of the Trump administration who were openly hostile to UNIFIL in particular. And also, what's not spoken about is even if the mandate had been approved and continued, the United States was threatening to defund all peacekeeping operations. So that would have a major practical impact as well.
So Thomas, is there a plan to actively engage with the EU to offer our Irish Defence Forces services to other missions, or to try and change this decision?
Well, I think the government will have to consider this very, very carefully and not rush into any statements today, even before the vote has taken place at the Security Council, before the resolution is actually passed. So I think you can be certain that there will be engagement with EU colleagues and with colleagues at the United Nations as well. Absolutely. Particularly in terms of this situation, because we do still have time for further discussions at the United Nations. And I certainly hope that that can happen. I think Ray is correct. This could change. It doesn't look likely at the minute, but there is now time, and I would say significant time, to have reflection and discussion to see what can be done here. But today we're left with this particular vote and this particular resolution. I think it would be very, very important then to study the implications of that reflectively afterwards, because this is just so serious, first of all, for the people of Lebanon, but also for the Defence Forces as well.
Okay, well, Professor Ray Murphy, thank you very much for being with us. Thomas Byrne, if you can stay with us for a moment, because I wanted to ask you about the other story that's dominating the headlines for the last God knows how many weeks now. But there is growing expectation this morning, certainly, that Jim Gavin is going to come to the fore as your party's presidential candidate. Now, you yourself have said it should be somebody with broad reach beyond the membership. Is he the man for you?
Well, I opened one newspaper online this morning, and it was Louise Richardson was the Fianna Fáil candidate. And I opened another newspaper, and it was Jim Gavin, both as the main story on the individual newspaper websites. So this is highly speculative at the moment. We had another candidate associated with Fianna Fáil as well on BBC Radio Ulster yesterday, the day before as well, not
Deirdre
ruling
Heenan.
Out a presidential run. We've had Mary Hannafin, Peter Power have expressed interest, obviously from within the party. I think Eamon O'Queeve has as well. Bertie Ahern has mentioned.
Billy
Keller, sorry. Yeah, there are so many names to be mentioned, and it's all speculative. What the Taoiseach said.
Have you a favourite there now?
No,
the
because I will look and see who is good. The only people who've actually approached me, I think, so far is Peter Power and Mary Hannafin.
Mm-hmm.
I met them some time ago, actually, really at the start of the summer. So what will happen is the Taoiseach has said, and he said this for about at least 2 months, maybe longer, that there will be...
That he'll tell you who to vote for. Is that what's going to happen?
He said no. The parliamentary party will decide, but he will outline the process at the end of the summer.
Right. So,
and that's going to happen.
What will that look like? Will all of the parliamentary party members be given a list and you pick somebody?
It'll effectively be a parliamentary party decision, is what it will be. Now, sometimes the leadership will announce a candidate that they support. That has not been indicated to me or anything like that. But I think ultimately it will be a vote of the members of the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party, and we'll make that decision. We have to make the decision first whether to run a candidate, because that's not made yet. And secondly, then who to run.
And the point about broad reach
is that, like, Fianna Fáil got the highest vote in the last general election, but it's still about 22%.
Yeah, you need
so the presidential
takes
candidate has to get
that.
50 plus one. And every party has this. Sinn Féin have to get three times nearly their vote that they got at the general election. So we're all in this bind. As to, you need a candidate that is actually going to go beyond politics, which is what the president has to be. It has to be somebody who goes beyond the political parties and can represent the entire country. So yes, political parties have a key role to play in nominating candidates. But if we want to get a president elected, and we want that person to be a good president to represent all of the country in the way that Michael D. Higgins has done, Mary McAleese has done, Mary Robin, all the presidents have done, then that's a very, very serious decision for the parliamentary party to make.
Would you prefer, as a senior member of that parliamentary party, to be given a long list to select from, or that the leadership would choose maybe two or three?
Well, I don't know what the procedure would be, because I've never been in the parliamentary party when we've nominated a candidate. We supported Michael D. Higgins the last time. The previous time we didn't run a candidate. So I imagine that it'll be like any other meeting, that there'll be proposers and seconders. I don't know the procedure, but that's the way I expect that it will work.
Yeah, it'd be useful to know the procedure, wouldn't it?
I don't think it's
dragging on now.
But the election's not till the end of October. And I mean, the governments are busy. Mm-hmm. We've seen the Sinn Féin party is having somewhat of a similar and probably longer process. Fine Gael did a very quick process.
They're out and on the ground. I mean, that we know has bothered some people in Fianna Fáil. You know that they're up and running with their candidate, pretty much.
It doesn't bother me in the slightest. I think we'll have a presidential election and there will be a really good debate and people will watch that and people will tune in to the candidates, and it's up to us to put up a candidate that can actually get 50% plus one. That's what we need to get. Mm-hmm. And that's whoever that candidate has to be, has to represent the entire country. And it cannot be just somebody who gets the Fianna Fáil vote. A great day. We want somebody to win this election and to be a good president.
Right. That sounds like somebody like Jim Gavin.
Well, he's clearly a good person. But I mean, Louise Richardson's a very accomplished person as well. Deirdre Heenan's an accomplished person. Billy Kelleher's accomplished. Bertie Ahern's accomplished. Mm-hmm. Eamon O'Queave, Mary Hannafin, and Peter Parrott, they all are. But the parliamentary party will have to make the decision of which of them, and there could be others that haven't expressed themselves yet, which of them is actually going, first of all, do the job properly, know the constitution, know what the president does, be confident that person can do the job,
and then can that person
win the election.
You know, Bertie Ahern says he's the man who knows the constitution and the role better than anybody else.
Yeah, I've no doubt that he knows the constitution really, really well. No doubt about that.
Would you support him?
I will look at all the candidates when they come forward. He has not approached me looking for support.
Right. OK, we'll leave it there. But thank you for joining us. That's Thomas Byrne, Minister of State. Coming up, investigators have found this Asian hornet's nest now in Cork this morning. We're going to have the very latest because they're making attempts as we speak, I believe, to capture this invasive and destructive insect. Next, though, the boss of the Forza Union, as school secretaries begin their indefinite strike action today.
51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.